Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Is a Friday edition of Straight Up with Sturge live in the studio with my buddy Patrick Brown. And we're going to make fun of each other here over the next 3 hours because it is my last time on the air before I go on vacation. So, ha, ha, ha.
You're feeling good, basically.
Yeah. You look over here. My former co-host, now the co-host of... The huddle with Greg McKinney is sitting over here still working diligently on a Friday afternoon after getting off the air. Thank you for making me feel bad right off the bat, Richmond Weaver.
Well, that's my point of doing that, just to show you that, hey, just because you go off the air doesn't mean you have to stop working.
Yeah, right.
But I'm in the same boat as you. I've got a limited amount of time to get things done because I'm on vacation next week as well.
Where are you going?
Rosemary Beach.
All right, man. Yes. So, hey, dude, real quickly, all right? So set it up for you to go up after I had to leave to come back to be on the air yesterday. I've talked to a bunch of people. You've been through media days on maybe the other side of things, if you will, being a former manager at Clemson or something along those lines. But what's your one adjective description of what you experienced yesterday in Charlotte?
Oh, that's put me on the spot in terms of trying to describe it in one word.
Right. Chaotic?
Yeah, I don't know if it was chaotic just because I've never been to
right.
one.
All right.
So that could have been normal to me in terms of just how it was.
All right, how about this? Because, as I'm leaving, I caught some stuff. There was a huge cloud hanging over Wednesday's Coastal Division meetings, if you will, and the name was the Clemson Tigers. It didn't matter if you were talking to Pitt coach Pat Narduzzi. It didn't matter who you were talking to. Clemson was a topic, whether it was we got to close the gap on them or something. So it must have been like rock star status as Dabo Swinney and Cleveland Farrell and Mitch Hyatt are walking their way through, because even the other coaches and players were commenting on them.
Well, and it was the same talk track for the Atlantic Division, is that everybody's trying to right now chase Clemson, and who can catch up to Clemson? Everybody knows that to win the ACC, you have to go through Clemson, regardless if there's teams that are showing improvement. Is there going to be more excitement with Florida State? We know they're talented, but can Willie Taggart, can he actually get them to the point of where they were just a few years ago? And just remember, Florida State was that team. That was the team that you had to go through to win the ACC. And finally, Clemson was able to get over the hump. And so now it's, what can Clemson do to stay at that level without having those teams catch up to them?
Well, the other thing is I thought Larry Williams of Tiger Illustrated hit the nail on the head. 4 years ago, we heard of culture issues at Florida State, going through the whole Jameis thing and guys not liking each other and not backing each other. And then you weren't allowed to ask that question. Be damned if you did. You were going to get blackballed by Florida State if you asked that question 3 or 4 years ago. All I heard yesterday was confirmation that that was actually the truth, in which that program had run the last couple of years. And quite frankly, it was time for a change, regardless if Jimbo Fisher was leaving for Texas A&M or wherever.
Well, it was interesting that I was there for Brian Burns, defensive end at Florida State, and Cam Akers, running back for Florida State, and also for Willie Taggart when he had his one-on-ones, and or his breakout session, I should say. And it was the theme of the conversation from both Brian and Cam, both players, that their one word, basically, if you want to give an adjective or a noun, whatever, it was accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been the biggest thing that I saw that they kept talking about, was this renewed sense of accountability, that they hadn't had that accountability. And I'm talking just going to class. Are you, doing off-season workouts? What are you doing off the field and on the field? Are you being held responsible? And it seems like, for whatever reason, Jimbo Fisher didn't actually have that, or it had just become lax over the years.
Jimbo Fisher was pissed off the last few years. I mean, people don't know the story. He caught his wife cheating on him. They've got a special needs child. Not only was she cheating on him, she was cheating on him with a former football player of their rival at Florida State. All right, so he wasn't in a good place. If there was anybody that needed to go, you know, wash the board free, it was Jimbo Fisher. I think it was very good for him. Now, we'll see how it does. Final thing I wanted to ask you. For people that don't remember, you spent a couple of years on the staff at Clemson, if you will, as a manager for Cliff Ellis basketball team, then 3 years as an assistant coach before the other career came up. So, I thought Cleland Farrell had some very, very interesting and telling comments yesterday when it came to who's going to play quarterback at Clemson this year. And it was a 100% backing of Kelly Bryant. And he was absolutely clear about it. This is what he had to say. Quote, I feel like Kelly was definitely still the more ready quarterback at the end of the spring. Definitely. He's a senior. He has more trust in his teammates. He knows the system. And he showed his skill and talent through his ability to run. He's worked really hard. And he's looked comfortable. Everything's flowed smoothly with him. The whole team is behind him. That's our guy, unless the coaches say otherwise. But my point being, the fans at the 35-yard line midway up in the stands, they can want Trevor Lawrence and everything else. Until that locker room is ready for that move, when it comes up, and it's likely going to come up, you got to sell that locker room before you can sell anybody sitting on the 35-yard line on Roque.
Of course you do. Yep. It all starts in the locker
room.
That's
right.
And I would suspect, though, also, has Trevor Lawrence had enough time to have the locker room come to his side? They haven't had enough experience. And Cleveland Farrell and Kelly Bryant, I don't know their relationship, but I would imagine it's probably pretty good. They've been around each other for 4 years, so they've got this camaraderie. And this doesn't surprise me that Cleveland Farrell would come out and support Kelly Bryant, because that's probably one of his boys. And right now the coaching staff is saying that it's Kelly Bryant's position until there is a change. And Cleveland Farrell sounds like he's a consummate team player, and he understands his roles and knows that based on if the coaches make a decision, then the team is going to have to buy into it. They might not agree with it 100%, but the directive is this is our guy, so they got to back him as well.
Cleland, first of all, he's a cut up. You know,
I didn't realize that.
Mitch Hyatt's the straight guy in there. With that, I mean, you know, he gives you the answer that you expect to hear. Cleveland Farrell's over there with his fingers in his ears, not wanting to hear about how good the defensive line at Clemson's going to be this year. But this is what he said. He goes, everyone judging Kelly Bryant based off of performance on one game on April 11th when he could not cut the ball upfield and run and do what he just quite frankly doesn't pay attention. And listen, it's going to be fascinating, because the one thing is, there are some people that go, maybe it could have been better with Cole Stout and Deshaun Watson a few years ago.
Yeah, I think we know the outcome, that Deshaun Watson was the better quarterback, without a doubt. I don't think it's just one game that people are making this conclusion for Kelly Bryant. It's not the spring game. It actually goes back to the game against Alabama. So you have that game then followed up with a subpar performance for Kelly Bryant's standards in the spring game, and I think that is just adding fuel to the fire. And I don't think that's necessarily fair, but that's just the reality of what's happening, because Kelly Bryant had a really good season last year. Led the team to the college football playoff.
I didn't expect it. You're a Clemson grad.
Exactly.
Did you really expect that?
No, I definitely did not. But I'm also the guy saying that I think the coaching staff will make the decision based on who is the best player. And from what I've seen and from what I've read and from what my sources are saying is that it seems to be Trevor Lawrence is the better talent. Now, will he be ready?
Yep.
That's the question. And Kelly Bryant has been in the system, so he knows it. So it's just a matter of Trevor Lawrence readiness. He will, and I don't know, but will, I think he will. That's just my opinion.
He will take over, but I think it will be – I think even to that defensive line, which is going to lead the way this year. I mean, I talked to multiple people that voted for Clemson players on the defensive line up at ACC football kickoff. And not Clemson media, by the way, before we – oh, yeah, a bunch of – home. No, I'm talking others out there that are just that impressed. I think if they see it on that defensive line with Cleveland Farrell and Christian, well, they'll be able to sell it in the locker room as well. So it's going to be interesting. But that was one of my takeaways, was just everybody commenting on, we got to close the gap with Clemson. And it's amazing. 4 years ago, 5 years ago, the dialogue was, can Clemson win the big game?
Of course. And yep. Again, as the same point, it was, you got to get past FSU. Mm-hmm. 2013, Florida State was a national champion. 2014, they actually played in the college football playoff. You know, they were there the first year of that. So it's not like Florida State was still not the team to beat 4 years ago. And it is interesting, just in a four-year period, how that has switched and what it looks like now versus what it has been in the past.
All right, final question for you from yesesterday at ACC football kickoff. You know, you get a couple of things of swag when you check in, an ACC hat and water bottle. I don't know if you got that stuff.
I did,
a few
yes.
other things. All right. But Wednesday afternoon, about 2:30, 3 o'clock, they roll this lady in that has made the best, like, sugar cookies iced up with the ACC logo on them. And they were about a half an inch to an inch thick. Everybody goes and steals extra pins and this and that that is all laid out or the board. I snuck out of there with a few extra cookies. Did they roll the cookie cart out yesterday, or what did they bring out yesterday?
I didn't see any of that, so I'm very disappointed. Dude, I must have been in the wrong place.
It was in the radio room, right where you come up the escalator there where the media.
The radio row, all
yeah,
of that.
Where the media guides are. Yeah, they had this lady Wednesday. And again, because somebody stopped and asked her, said, how did you do this? And she does it with the laser. You know, the laser points down on the cookie, and that's how she ate. I think I came home with five of them. I mean, they were stacked up like 20 deep, so I wasn't the only one that
was
getting a few extras.
Well, then I know
extras,
for sure.
So.
Those were not out
See,
there.
See, I was thinking you probably had Bojangles come rolling in yesterday about 3 o'clock, something they usually do along those lines. But then again, this year, you know what was different for me on Wednesday night? All they had was a reception. I mean, with good food, but finger food, but it wasn't even, it was over in the building next door.
Oh, and so it wasn't at the
Yeah, they
Western.
Had corn. We didn't have to sit there through John Swofford's State of the Union, which he did earlier in the day, but he does it again at dinner, and then the produced video from the highlight. That wasn't, I mean, so just the fact you can see how these things are now being scaled down year to year to year to year, you know what I mean? So the highlight of my trip, seeing a bunch of friends, having some fun. Watching children's eyes about this big. Dude, here's the difference, all right? I had these moments a while back, okay? When Ricky Walker, the defensive lineman of Virginia Tech, who we're going to play his interview. That was my favorite player's interview that I did, so we're going to play it back today. He comes and sits down and puts the lunch pail, the Virginia Tech lunch pail. Mark's eyes go, wah. And I was just like, it was fun. I mean, it's almost like being.
Well, that's the excitement, yes. Because I know there's a lot of guys, and I could see it, that you could tell they had been there for mm-hmm. years. And this was just going through the motions. And, you know, as we talked about earlier on the huddle, is that I was probably walking around with this glow.
Right.
And people were saying, well, there's a first-timer well, right there. We
well,
can see it.
Well, next time you'll know where to be at 2:30, 3 o'clock.
Oh, yes,
o'clock,
I will.
All right?
You better believe
so,
it. I got to get there
but,
day
but
one.
But the point was, I had those moments. We all did. But he sat down. I look at it there. He's like, uh-huh, uh-huh. You know, and it was just fun. In some kind of weird way, it's almost like watching your child experience something cool for the first time. Now, Childress would be physically impossible to be my job, but you know what I mean?
Yes,
same
I know
thing.
What
I
you
wish
mean.
I could have seen you yesterday, and I'm glad everything was squared away.
Yes, no, thank you for your help. I do
there.
Appreciate that.
Listen, I will say
helping
this
navigate.
Much. Amy and that crew up there at the ACC, they worked their butts off. I'm going to tell you something. I was disappointed in some of my counterparts in the radio business on Wednesday, all right, or leading up to Wednesday. Because when I started going there and setting up and doing a radio show 6 years ago, Price and I were talking about this last night, maybe 10 of us, 10. And that included, you know, the national stuff. 34 set up this year. All right, so just do the numbers. You can't get people the same number of interviews that you did, you know, 6 years ago. And I saw her put a tweet out saying, well, dealing with the most thankless task every year of getting emails telling me how bad I suck at my job, more or less. I'm paraphrasing. I went the opposite route, and I sent her a thank you note. Why? Because it's the most thankless job out there. Also, get your butt there and go work yourself. That's what I did. That's why Mark and I had so much stuff on. I know these people. I go. But again, just I heard the bitching and the moaning. And you know what? They try to be fair and equitable. And if you don't get everything you want, then guess what? Get there and go work for it. So I was disappointed with some of the people that think, you know, the smoke clears and they should come walking through like the Miami Hurricanes. Nope. Guess what? We're all equal representation. No bigger, no worse. So, hey, man, I'm glad you had a blast. Enjoy your vacation. If you get to swing a golf club, I just want you to know I hate you.
Yeah. There's actually no golf on this trip.
All right, because I just got my physical therapy scheduled down through the end of September, and I know that is the earliest that they may let me loose, and then we'll whatever else comes up. But I know this much. I'm so itching after this British Open to go play golf right now. It's killing me, and the fact that I heard you and Childress went again this past weekend. Okay. All
right, we'll get you out there.
Yeah, no, we're going to do
it. Get better first.
That's right. We need to go take advantage of that upstate golf card. Also, when we come back, speaking of one of the courses there, yesterday I was over at the Carolina Golf at Botany Woods. I set it up for our buddy Patrick Brown, my producer here today, to go play this morning. We'll get a little update on that. We'll start talking some more media days. It's open phones until 5:03. Greenville County School Athletic Director Daryl Nance is going to join us, tell us what they have going on Thursday for their media day. All right, welcome back in on this Friday edition. British Open, we're going to get to that one as well, but speaking of golf, before we go to the phone lines, yesterday I want to thank everybody out at Carolina Golf at Botany Woods for a great day yesterday. Really nice people. Seriously, man, really a good facility that's available for rent. $100 for a family to join. You can't beat that. But I set it up for Patrick Brown and one of his buddies to go out there and check it out earlier today. And Patrick, let's describe your golf game real quick as we head into it. Rebuilding?
No. All right. It's consistent.
Consistent?
I shoot 84.
Okay. So, all right. So, you know, the average golfer shoots 100.
Yeah.
All right. So, you're an above average mm-hmm. golfer like me.
The one thing I always struggle with is par threes.
Right.
So, I always tend to try to get back into the swing of things by playing par threes, which was great for this course because you didn't feel like you played the same 18 holes. Like, you would go on the front, or you would play the first nine, and then you'd go to the back nine. You play the same holes.
But a different set of tees.
But different set of tees, different ways to approach it and stuff like that. There were a few holes that were kind of similar in the way you approached it, but besides that, very, very challenging.
But my point is, it's not what we think of when somebody goes par three, which is, oh, you got lights up on the telephone pole and this and that. I mean, it's a old school George Cobb design that meanders its way through. And the only place there's parallel holes is really it's split by trees. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, you know, and boy, you can see the work they're putting into it and where they expect it to go. I mean, would you go play there again?
Oh, no doubt.
All right.
It was a great course. I shot, I think it was a 13 over, which was it's not bad. I mean, it's bogey golf.
Right.
But the thing is, the 17th hole made me want to come back to it because it was a 125 uphill shot, and I stuck it 4 feet.
There you go.
And I was like, oh, if I had some backspin, I could have gotten it in. But that hole right there made me want to go back.
Well, good. And again, you know, they're just good people. They made sure everything was taken care of for you. So so that was sort of my deal. I was like, I want to get somebody. You know, I grew up there. I'm proud of that. You know, we're joining again. But like I said, I just wanted to get somebody else's opinion because, you know, par three, oh, I don't want to go out there. No, this is cool.
The guy I played with, he just got certified with the PGA.
Oh.
So he's one of those top-level golfers and stuff like that. And I was asking him the whole time, like, how do you feel? How do you feel? And the whole time he was like, the greens roll really well.
Yeah.
The only thing that we said was you know, just needed to be trimmed that day. And I think we caught him on an off day with trim. But besides that, it rolled well. There were no bumps. The greens were taken care of properly. Everything was great at that facility.
And they were working backwards because the greens back to the tee, just cleaning some stuff up. And there's going to be some new tee boxes in there eventually. And they've hired an actual superintendent. So I think there's really good days ahead for Carolina.
There's it's a really, really well-designed course, very well kept, very beautiful. And I didn't know, we went into the clubhouse to get a Gatorade or something like that. We went in and we were like, wow, this looks really nice in here as well. Mm-hmm. Like everything just top-notch.
Thank you. Cool. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Delvin, I apologize the other day you called in when we had an interview coming up. Hope you're doing well. And have you enjoyed the first week of talking season?
Yes, I have, and this one I want to talk to you about. And don't worry about it, man. You had a guest on. I understand perfectly, man. I like your show, man. That's why I love calling in. So don't worry about it. And I just wish you luck on your vacation and luck on your surgery as well.
Thank you very much.
You was up there. Did it seem to me that John Swofford was more happier than usual because he was so excited about the ACC network? Because I watched him, he just sounded so excited, like he can't wait for you to get here. I mean, he was talking about what talent they're going to be bringing in, like who we want to be, like the announcers for the games and stuff. And he was talking about, he was saying, like, it just seemed like he was excited. Did that seem like what this was, but he was like, how excited he was for the SEC network just to get here so fast?
There are multiple reasons. No, hold on. There are multiple reasons, Delvin, because number one, you look at what Clemson's doing right now, and we talked about the list of, you know, Texas was $214 million, A&M $211 million, at $185 million was Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Georgia right behind them. Clemson was down at like $26 million, you know what I mean? Almost toward $30 million. Think of the ROI. Well, here's the deal. Some of the other schools in the ACC were further down than that. So that's one thing that's going to give some of the Virginias and the Virginia Techs and thing. It's going to give them some more money, much like Georgia Tech as well. So, yeah, with that, you should get better. And let's be honest, the ACC has gotten better. But to be more competitive top to bottom with the SEC, yeah, that ACC network is going to have to bring those schools in some money.
Yeah, do you think they're gonna have? You think they're gonna be able to get the big cable network, like the cable companies saying, like the SEC network?
The SEC network was brought on at the right time. Them and the Big Ten network. Those days it's over. You saw the advertising, plus now cord cutting and everything else that goes on. No, you will not see anything, in my opinion. Listen, the Big Ten network hadn't quite worked out the way the SEC network would, but I think you're still giving fans and corporate sponsors more of what they want, right?
I'm talking about like Charter and
Yeah, yeah, they're absolutely going to pick it up here because you're going to see Clemson athletics on it and all. But listen, Delvin, thanks for being patient. I hope you take care of Childress next week, and we'll talk to you soon, okay, bud?
All right, man. Take care, man.
All right. And, again, it's going to be fascinating because, listen, the advent of the SEC network was genius because it came out right before that last little downturn in the economy, if you will. And, you know, they went in there and they wired every single campus into their control rooms, you know. So there wasn't, if you went to Arkansas, there wasn't going to be any difference in the quality coming from there, say Columbia, South Carolina. And that was a brilliant move. But again, they had a lot of extra money in which to do that
with. And what I also hear, because I was a media major back in college and stuff like that, and we would kind of talk to other colleges about how they're doing and stuff like that. In South Carolina, they're like, with the SEC network, for games like soccer or, you know, even some baseball games that get broadcasted on the network, students actually run those. Mm-hmm. Students are actually a part of the show, which when you think about it, when you see the network, you're like, it's mostly the athletics. But behind the scenes, it's a lot of cool and interesting ways that the students can get involved as well and actually help out and get a lot of experience firsthand.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Will you allow me, as your day is my boss this week, to get out one last message before we go to break?
Go ahead.
I have a pretty good feeling that my mom and dad are on I-85, probably listening to us right now. Why they're on their way to Fort Mill, South Carolina, as they're getting ready to become great grandparents for the second time in about 3 weeks. Other side of the family, from my other brother, their oldest son. So Will and Abby, congratulations. This is cool. I love history, all right? My dad is named William Buford Sturgis In honor of my dad, Randy and Susan, my brother Randy and his wife Susan, named their oldest son William Buford Sturgis II. So Will and his wife Abby, they're at the hospital. Mm-hmm. This will go down here in the next few hours. They are naming him William Buford Sturgis III and calling him Trip.
Wow.
So, Mom, Dad, go enjoy this again. I know you're worn out after being in Charleston, yep. You know, with your other one. But, man, I mean, that's pretty cool. You become not grandparents, great-grandparents from both sides of the family, or two different sides of the family, if you will, in about a three-week period. So be safe going up there and have fun and love on that child, and we'll talk to you when we get back. All right, still open phones till the top of the hour, 844-GSP-ESPN. By the way, the voting is in from Atlanta and the SEC Media Days. We'll give you a breakdown. So media days are now over. ACC finished up yesterday afternoon, as well as the Southeastern Conference down in Atlanta. Now, I don't think we're supposed to get a breakdown of our voting from Charlotte until Monday. So if it happens to break here over the next couple of hours, which I'm going to be honest with you, I think it's kind of dumb. I know what they're doing is trying to bring it out on Monday to get into another news cycle, but it's also a little bit stale at that point as well.
Well, I mean, if you do it now, not a lot of people are going to be interested in it.
Yeah.
Like, I would have had to at least try to go on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, just have it ready, give it to the people that need to have it, and just say, report on this on Saturday.
Well, I'd love to know. It's not like you got to count individual ballots. It was all done online. So, I mean, because we get, you know, the SEC Media Days ended yesterday. We got, at lunchtime, the voting on that. And you want to start? I'll let you be producer. You want to start with the East? You want to go to the West, or you want to go overall?
You know what? There's probably going to be a little bit more predictability in the West. So let's start the West, go with the unpredictability of the East, and then go with the overall.
All right. I was actually surprised. Between the East and the West, there was a further separation between first place and second place in which side of the league is when it comes to voting.
Probably East.
Yeah, you're right. Georgia over South Carolina was a wider gap than Alabama over Auburn. However, you said you wanted to start with the West.
Yep.
Alabama, 263 first-place votes. Auburn, 19. Mississippi State, 2. That was it when it comes to first-place votes. So the voting broke down like this. Bama, 1. Auburn, 2. Mississippi State, 3. Texas A&M, 4. LSU 5,
wow.
Ole Miss 6, Arkansas 7. I am stunned. LSU's got talent, but nobody trusts Ed Orgeron.
Do you think they don't trust him or his ability to have a quarterback?
Both.
Because for me, I think LSU can do something this year. I'm not saying win the SEC.
But Joe Burrow is going to have to step up as a transfer from Ohio State.
And I agree.
I think people go, well, is this going to work out about as well as Appleby did from Purdue?
Well, also, you got to look at, and they're having them ahead, or having them behind Texas A&M with a first-year Jimbo Fisher, which I know Jimbo Fisher is a heck of a coach, but do you put that much trust in Jimbo over Ed Orgeron?
Well, I would even go more than that. Look at number 3, Mississippi State. First-year head coach Joe Moorhead, who has not been a head coach at this level. He has D2 level back in the day up north. And he's got a quarterback by the name of Nick Fitzgerald. But what's the last thing we remember of Nick Fitzgerald being rolled off in a golf cart as he tore the hell out of his knee against Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl? So there's a question there. How well does Nick Fitzgerald come back here in the first half of the year? So if I'm an LSU fan, I've got smoke breathing out because, oh, my God, the two teams directly in front of us, one's got a first-year head coach, and the other's got a first-year head coach that's never been a head coach.
Yeah.
But does that – I mean, that's how far the media is feeling that LSU football has dropped off here in the last couple of years.
I honestly had my top 3, Alabama, Auburn, LSU.
I just do on athletes.
Yeah, just because, one, we kind of know what we're going to get with LSU. But the thing is, they can surprise a lot of people this year. We're actually going, hey, you know, this is what you guys think of us. Here's what we're actually going to do, and we're going to try to destroy everybody. They can do that very easily, but the thing is, Alabama and Auburn, I think, are ahead of them in every way right now. And we don't know anything about Mississippi State and Texas A&M in their new systems. So we're I question that.
Now, I will say this much. The gap, let's look at overall votes. The gap between third place Mississippi State and fifth place LSU was like 234 points. So that, but there was a huge gap between Alabama and second place Auburn, then second place Auburn in that group of three, and then Ole Miss 578 points and Arkansas 412. Now, I get the fact that, you know, our buddy, Coach Morris has to rebuild everything there in Fayetteville, which includes, you know, going from an old school Big Ten type of offense with plotting big offensive linemen. Why Brett Bielema came from Wisconsin to a more wide open offense. So that's the hire I just don't know about when all said and done. If I love Coach Morris, all right, super nice guy, was doing a good job at SMU. However, still hadn't gotten them past 6-6, and Grand June Jones quit on that job way before, you know, they fired him. My problem is this was a hire that, number one, was done on the down low, done on the cheap, if you will. If you can say that about a $2.5 million contract, all right? But it also was, we got to take a step with guy with Texas ties, because if we can't get back into the Lone Star State recruiting, we're never going to be successful in the Southeastern Conference. So that's the one that is high risk, high reward there in Fayetteville, because everybody thought that, wow, you know, Brett Bielema coming in from the Big Ten after leading Wisconsin to three consecutive Rose Bowls. Watch out for Arkansas, mm-hmm. because we saw, turns out Bobby Petrino had a completely different way to keep that team motivated back in the day. I'll let your mind wander wherever you want it to go right there.
I'm good.
All right.
I'm good on doing that.
All right. So when we come back, let's take a look at the SEC East. And, of course, who the media predicted will win the Southeastern Conference. Listen, I'm looking forward at 503. It's Greenville County Schools Athletic Director Daryl Nance. I call him Coach Nance, but I've known this man for a long, long time. So after that, open phones again. We're going to bring you a couple last interviews as well. All right, welcome back in. The voting has come out of the SEC Media Days out of Atlanta, and we mentioned the West, Bama 1, Auburn 2, Mississippi State 3, Texas A&M 4, LSU 5, Ole Miss 6, Arkansas number 7. When it came to the East, Patrick, Georgia was the runaway winner, or number one vote getter, 271 first place votes. South Carolina was number 2 with 8.
I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all know that Georgia is the best team in the East right now, and it's not even a close second. I mean, South Carolina could surprise them, but that's just because it's an early week 2 game, and it's in Columbia. That's the only reason.
Yes, I'm with you. And Georgia, everybody keeps, we think, wow, they lost Nick Chubb, they lost Sonny Michel. They've got a stock backfield yet again this year as well. So the way it goes down, South Carolina with 8 first place votes behind the Gamecocks in the 3rd slot, Florida Gators, they get 4 first place votes. Number 4, Missouri. Number 5 is Kentucky, who gets a first place vote. Number 6 is Tennessee. They get a first-place vote, and whoever made that one should be banned from future SEC media days. For it's like if you go to our Facebook page, I put up a from a Mexican League professional baseball game.
Yeah.
The dude swings all the way around. The guy called it. No, he didn't go far enough to be called a strike. They got suspended for the rest of the year.
Both of them just went like, he's good.
Both those umpires suspended for the rest of the year. This voter for Tennessee coming off 0-8. With all the problems they have with bringing in Bama's defensive coordinator now, it's got to be on crack. I'm sorry, crack kills or at least blows the mind. Vanderbilt brings up the rear. Now, I had it exactly like this, minus Kentucky and Missouri. I had Kentucky in the 4th slot, Missouri in the 5th. I don't know. I realized Drew Locke and the Missouri Tigers got hot at the back end of the year last year. I just don't know. I have enough faith that that's really going to carry over into this season as well. Listen, I know this much. Tennessee won't go 0-8 this year when it comes to the Southeastern Conference, and they are already tougher by default, according to my friends in the media up there. So, listen, it's going to be a work in progress. Here's the one thing I took away from some of the stuff. I love Coach Addazio at Boston College, all right?
Mm-hmm.
He said his advice now, again, he's smarter now than he was 8 years ago when he first got into coaches, is go find a quarterback. Young coaches, go find a quarterback. You're all worried about building everything else up. He goes, go find a quarterback somehow, some way. That would be his advice to a first-year head coach. All right, so when it comes to it, obviously the media is feeling a rematch of last year. Alabama, Georgia in the SEC championship game in Atlanta, which, listen, Bama fans walked out of there last year going, how the hell did all the Georgia fans get all the tickets to this SEC champ? Well, they got all the corporate tickets. So,
didn't Auburn and Georgia play each other?
Or Auburn and Georgia did. Auburn fans, yeah. But
sorry,
Georgia,
I was just making sure.
It was 90 miles away from Auburn, and Auburn's going, man, how'd they get all the fans? Well, first of all, they got a head start on it.
Yep.
And then number two, all the corporate tickets went Georgia's direction as well. So
probably, yeah.
Alabama picked to win the SEC by 193 members of the media. Number two, Georgia was 69. Auburn would be third with 14. South Carolina fourth overall with 4 first place votes. Florida and Mississippi both got 2. Missouri got 1. So if you're a history buff, here's what you need to know about SEC football media days. The media has picked the eventual SEC champion correctly just 6 times in 26 years.
Wow.
And that's going back to the divisional split, East versus West. So, again, getting back to the Mexican League umpires that got suspended for the rest of the year. Not only did somebody pick Tennessee to win the championship or win the East, all right? Somebody picked Missouri to win the SEC championship with 1 overall first place championship vote. Let's flip back over to the East voting. Number 4, Missouri, with no first place votes to win the East. I know that I'm not the smartest cookie in the jar.
Yeah.
But there's no chance to win an overall SEC championship if you don't win the East.
That's how it works, yeah. So you're on the right path.
So somebody says, they can't win the East, but I'm going to pick them to win the SEC. Again,
that
take the voting privileges away.
That's double dipping. I'm sorry. You can't just say, I think Georgia's going to win, but on the off chance Missouri wins, I look like a genius.
So, it's physically impossible. Don't go start saying, no, you have to win your division to play in the championship game. I know my Crimson Tide have caught a bunch of crap about not appearing in the SEC championship game but making the college football playoff. Well, that's a different story. This is physically impossible, Missouri playing and winning a game in which they weren't even qualified for.
I want to know the guy who voted that. I want to know who he picked. It was his first. Maybe he's the guy that picked Tennessee. Maybe he was supposed to write Tennessee but forgot and wrote Missouri.
I'm guessing that if this was done over the computer, it was a slip. Yeah, because listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I got into voting for ACC each position, and there were a couple of guys I just had to go off gut instinct. You know, I couldn't sit here and tell you what they did last year, all this other stuff. I just had to go off gut instinct. So,
but like, it's one thing to go off a gut instinct to say, you know what, maybe there's a chance that, you know, South Carolina can win the East. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to go a gut feeling and go, you know what, Missouri can win the SEC and they don't even have to win the East.
Well, I've got a gut feeling that Tennessee better be a lot more aware of which battles they're picking out there on the internet.
I mean, Tennessee fans do. You know what? I know where you're going with that. Uh-huh. We might know who that first place vote was.
Vol Rumor Mill on Twitter.
I'm just saying, because he got roasted pretty good by a larger company. Maybe one of the execs from that company said, hey, we kind of hurt this guy's spirit a little bit. Let's give him a pity vote.
We didn't hurt him. We crushed him. And listen, I come in today, and there's this link. Walmart euthanizes Tennessee fans, something to that extent.
Yeah.
And it's this dude that runs his mouth on Twitter called Vol Football Rumor Mill, something along those lines. Well, I guess Nike created some tennis shoes for the Florida football team that have a little bit of orange and blue on it and this and that, a special shoe. So he sees it and he tweets something to the effect, you know, only the Florida Gators could come up with a shoe that, you know, looks like it was plucked out of the bin at Walmart.
Yep.
So Walmart responds, and again, this is on our ESPN Upstate Facebook page. Go check it out. It's fantastic. It says, well, look what we pulled out of the bin. And it is a clip from CBS Sports' Twitter account back on the day of the game, of which they lost to Florida on the final play of the game.
Now, I would have been a little bit happier if they got the Celine Dion version of it. Okay, that would have been a little bit better in my regard, but having the CBS version of it, I'm okay with.
Which either way, it was just, look what we pulled out of the bin. Oh, yeah, a 60-yard touchdown pass y'all gave up on the last play of the game. Winner, winner, Walmart.
Now, the thing is, I remember that game. Mm-hmm. I was walking downtown Greenville and where the WSPA had their downtown location. There was a TV out there that showed the game. And of course, everyone's with their, you know, significant other, and they're walking around downtown Greenville. And you saw, I'm not kidding you, 15 grown men just huddled around that TV watching that final play. And I started to walk away because I was like, there's no way, you know, Florida's going to get it.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And like, I'm on the edge about to cross the street. And I thought someone got hit by a car or something. I look around, all 15 men are hugging each other. They're high-fiving each other. I'm like, I looked at my girlfriend, I said, that's what sports is about.
Yep. You can't recreate that in any way, shape, or form. So, let's make sure we get the tweet right from Vol Rumorman. Only Florida's colors and logo can make an iconic shoe look like it came from a bin at Walmart.
Which, by the way, the shoe is okay.
It's all right. I wouldn't wear it.
I don't like
it. My point being, Walmart wins this exchange.
Yeah, Walmart wins it. But the thing is, I have questions about Nike's decision for that shoe.
Well, I would say this much. You look at one person fighting a corporation as big as Walmart or getting slammed down. I think it would be the apropos word here for the 5 p.m. hour in our free Stash Cash contest on ESPN Upstate. They'd be an underdog going against somebody as big as what? Well, underdog, UNDERDOG. Text that into 72881. Guess what? You got a chance to win $1,000 free and clear on Intercom Greenville, and ESPN Upstate. We had a local winner just the other day. Again, 12 times a day in our free Cash Dash contest. The 5 p.m. word is underdog. We'll come back with Coach Daryl Nance, the athletic director for the Greenville County School System. We'll share a cool event they are hosting Thursday at Bon Secours Wellness Arena.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.